Okay, begin from the beginning. River Ganga is holy because Gangas is a symbol of eternal flow of Vedic wisdom. Okay, so it's a timelessness of the Veda Shastam. Perennial eternity of the Veda is also implied by the flow of Ganga. So Vedic vision, Vedic knowledge has been flowing through the lineage of teachers unobstructedly. Therefore, Ganga symbolizes the eternal flow of unobstructed flow of Vedic wisdom through the lineage of teachers, Guru Parampara. Now, Veda mountain also symbolizes Veda Shastram. Why? How? Any mountain, that's why Kailasa is also very, we respect Kailasa, isn't it? And Bhagavan Shiva is said to be Girishaha, Girishaha. Isn't it? So we say Vedadri, Vedachala, etc. We say. Because mountain for us is a symbol of Veda Shastra. How? Because when a person, an human being begins his life as a brahmachari, there he has opportunities to study the Veda, do the Veda Adhyanam, study of the Veda Mantras. He studies the Vedas, he memorizes the, all the mantras. So he has the whole Veda as a text, a book in his mind. So anytime when you want to do analysis later on, you know, analyze the meanings of the mantras, you must be capable of turning the pages of Veda in your mind itself. Your memorizing is something compulsory. So Veda Adhyanam, then Veda Mimamsa. Veda Mimamsa means analyzing meanings of the words of the Shastra and understanding. So as a brahmachari, by the time the person comes out of Gurukulam as a full-fledged grown-up, young, you know, full of vigor and tejas and this living disciplined life, he comes out, you know, as a Vaidika, young Vaidika, even he's ready for marriage also. He knows, he has Purushartha Nischaya, he knows knowledge being only means, he knows how he should live his life. So Karma Yoga, he understands important Dharma, he knows. He comes out with all understanding. Then he knows, even though understanding is there, that it's not that easy to assimilate the teaching, to have the contemplative mental disposition and to assimilate, etc. It's not that easy. Therefore, a brahmachari is generally expected to enter into next stage of life, which is grihastashrama. So, the bottom of the mountain stands for karma kanda of the Veda associated with the grihastashrama. When a person enters into grihastashrama, he has many responsibilities, duties. So, grihastha ashrami, a person of, a householder means has to play many roles. He has many duties pertinent to each role and he has to do a lot of activities, responsibilities, duties. So, he has to physically, mentally, he'll be very, very, mentally he'll be very agitated, restless, reactive. So, he'll be very, very active. Grihastashrama is a stage which is filled with activities. Responsibility. I don't need to explain how as a mother and a father, playing every role, there's so many duties to be done. But because he knows how to convert his actions into yoga, he lives a life of karma yoga. As a grihastashrami, every person is supposed to be living a life of karma yoga only. Okay, as a performer of actions, his life is a worshipful life. Then that helps him to grow, climb on to the mountain. If he doesn't live a life of karma yoga, he cannot climb on to the mountain. He will be stuck at the bottom of the mountain itself. He cannot progress. Just to climb. Climbing the mountain is what? Mentally evolving, emotionally maturing, intellectually sharp. A person has to evolve, emotionally has to become stable, more stable, intellectually has to become sharp, is becoming intellectually sharper, emotionally stable, maturing emotionally, Arjuna said to be climbing onto the mountain. Then, when he finishes his duties and responsibilities as a grihastha ashrama, and gradually it is difficult to withdraw oneself overnight from all activities. When you are living a very, very, very busy active life, suddenly you have to retire. Until today you are working, and tomorrow you have to retire. You know what happens? Every day getting up in the morning and then going and working for 8-9 hours and coming back in the evening, has been living for so many years, suddenly you don't need to go to office anymore. What will you do next morning? You don't know what to do. Unless you are trained, you trained yourself to read books and enjoy things, how to pass your time. Unless you've been to study a Shastra, you are given to the discipline of studying the Shastra. How are you going to do? The many police officers become mentally sick. So there's now special programs are being organized for police officers who are retiring. Because they, now in India. Okay, what I want to say. Then a person slowly he can't withdraw totally from activities. He has to withdraw little from duties. So giving those responses to the next generation, younger generation, and then helping the person learn and they grow. Only the other person is given the responsibility, the person will start doing and he can learn. He will not do, if you do everything yourself, how will others learn? Don't ask me why I am serving all the time. Okay? There is different situation that I won't take care of your needs itself. Generally, one must definitely, you must give duties for others to learn and grow. So other next generation takes the responsibilities. You be there as guiding them in what they should be doing, etc. So this is, then withdraw yourself from activities. But even then, you involve more in your religious activities, reducing your mundane activities. As a grihastha ashrami, you are involved mostly in mundane activities, but still with the proper attitude, converting the mundane day-to-day activities into worship with having proper attitude, living a life of karma yoga. Is it clear? But now when you withdraw, when you move out of grihastha ashrama, and it's called vanaprastha ashrama. Vanaprastha ashrama means just going to the jungle and living there. That doesn't mean you don't need to go. It's just an expression, that's all. Wherever you are, still you can reduce your mundane activities, increase religious activities. What religious activities? Performing pujas, chanting, spend more time in chanting, worshipping, praying, going to temples, etc. And also being given to study of the Shastram also. This is vanaprastha ashrama. Still you are physically still active, but also, and then also you are given to, you have time to sit quietly and contemplate. So that is how, as a person of grihastha ashrama, living life karma yoga, handling rajasa ahankara, slowly a person becomes a person of sattvika ahankara as a vanaprasthi. Understand? Then slowly a person withdraws himself even from religious activities. And because he is given to study of the Shastram, completely he withdraws from all activities and he lives. He may physically also, he will be not be able to do physically much. Doesn't need to do much. Then he's more, okay, more involved. More mentally he's busy in the sense what? He begins his completely contemplative life. As a vanaprasthi, he's meditative. Meditative means what? He's involved in, he's a meditator upon Saguna Ishvara. Saguna Ishvara, dhyanam he does. Then slowly as sannyasi, whether a person becomes sannyasi physically or not, takes to the life of sannyasa, wearing orange robes or not, still every human being is supposed to go through the sannyasa mentally. One must have discovered viveka, vairagyam. One must become naturally dispassionate. Then, that's it. The middle part of the mountain stands for vanaprastha ashrama. Isn't it? Vanaprastha ashrama. associated with the Upasana Kanda of the Veda. The third part stands for Jnana Kanda associated with the Sannyasashrama. Sannyasashrama or Sannyasashrama? Whether you're mentally or dispassionate, you have grown out of desire for everything in life. Physically also you're old enough now. I've enjoyed the best of things, I've seen everything in life. What is that? I've grown out of desire for everything else. Then you spend your time only in studying the Shastram and studying the Shastram, listening to the teaching, reflecting upon the teaching and dwelling upon the teaching. So sannyasa life means living a contemplative life. So teaching, sharing is also what? Contemplative life only. So that should in due course of time, that should culminate in what? In having the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the truth obtaining as one's own self, in the wake of which you can see all that is there is only Ishvara, only Brahma. The top of the mountain stands for Jnana Kanda Sannyasashram. When you reach the top of the mountain, on the top of the mountain, you see temples are built. Temples are built sometimes. The temple stands for, again, the physical body. And once you go inside, how do you go? Suppose the big temple is there, like big huge temple, many prakarams will be there. You go, then again you go to next corridor, again you go next prakara, isn't it? You go, and each prakara stands for what? One kosha, annamaya kosha. You are not physically, when you go to temple, physically you are moving from one place to other place. In the journey, you are cognitively, you are shifting your identity gradually with the help of the teaching you have, help of the vision you have. You are cognitively shifting your identity from annamaya kosha to pranamaya kosha to manamaya kosha. Not overnight. At every kosha, when you are studying, when you do the panchakosha prakriya, when we are using the method of analyzing your five koshas, it is like a journey. You analyze each kosha thoroughly and understand how each kosha is nothing but anatma, material. Thereby understanding each kosha like it's like, not a kosha. What is under kosha? Every sheet, every layer of personality is like a kosha, as though it's covering. Doesn't cover anything. So it's called kosha. You understand each kosha as an anatma and you shift identity from cognitively from one kosha to the other kosha. It is like climbing on from and to the staircase. How you come to anandamaya kosha? Anandamaya kosha is nothing but what? Avidya, total ignorance, maya. You can say, because you don't know maya, it's avidya. Then there is ananda, there is experience of bliss. That's also kosha. Why? In there it is not your sorupam. And you understand even anandamaya kosha in terms of total ignorance and the sukham you experience as a result of not having any identity, that also you negate as what? Anatma. The object of your experience. Isn't it? Then what cannot be negated further is what you cannot go beyond, which is the knower of the anandamaya kosha. The experience obtaining in the anandamaya kosha. That experience and over is actually abstract, formless. Okay? You arrive at it. And that you claim that formless reality as your sorupam. You take ownership of the formless reality as your sorupam, which is Ishwara sorupam also. Understand? Then Satchidananda Atma Ahamasmi. Satchitanandatma Ahamasmi, when you understand the vision. So that's like going to the temple, you see when the Garbhagraham is your mind, which is dark. Dark Garbhagraham. Every sanctum of the temple is supposed to be very, very dark. Only one lamp must be there. That lamp, the wick with the flame of one lamp, symbolizes the half knowledge. Vikshepa Shaktis, the manifestation of Vikshepa Shakti, is it? The operation of Vikshepa Shakti being there in the form of knowledge of self-existence, knowledge of the existence of the world. Half knowledge is symbolized by that one wick. Only one lamp is supposed to be there. In that half light, you understand what? There is Murti. The Murti is also granite, not marble like North India. The top of the mountain stands for Jnanakanda. The top, you see the temple. And when you shift your identity from, you know, each layer of personality, cognitively, not physically, discover yourself. So here inside the temple, that lamp, the sanctum sanctum, which symbolizes the darkness of the sanctum sanctum, stands for ignorance. And that ignorance, there's only one, isn't it? The waking state, isn't it? That the avarna shakti, the stand symbolized by the darkness. Vikshepa shakti, the of knowledge of self-existence, symbolized by the wick, the lamp, light. In that light, you have only half knowledge. What do you know? There is Murti. There is Murti inside. But how the exact that Murti is, you do not know. Why need it, but no. Avarna Shakti has been removed. Isn't it? Then you light the camphor. So camphor symbolizes the Shastra. Tattumasi Mahavakya, Vichara. The Guru helps you. Okay? What Tattpada Lakshyartha, Tumpada Lakshyartha, he explained. And he shows the light. Tattvamasi. You see that Ishwara Swarupam as what? Your Swarupam. It is Sakshatkaraha. Sakshatkaraha means seeing the reality as the immediate self. Aparoksha Jnanam. What is immediate? Nothing is there in between. Okay? There's no mediation between you and the reality. It's immediate jnana. You claim that it's reality. Is it clear? And then in the light of the Shastra Pramanam, camphor symbolizes Shastra Pramanam. The Shastra Pramanam is operated, Shastra is studied, and who? Sampradaya with the Guru is symbolized by the priest. And he shows, he waves the light, you see exactly how the feet are, how the shanks are, how the I said that should good that priest told, no? Their feet, their head, they're like he showed inside the temple, Murti. That is a huge Murti, isn't it? And you see everything. You have the vision of Bhagavan. That Murti symbolizes what? Your Swarupa. And you come back as what? Muktaha. Liberated. Got it? That's why any mountain is for us important. Bhagavan's called Girishaha. Girau Shete iti Girishaha. Girehe Ishaha iti Girishaha. What the subject matter of the Veda Shastram? The whole Veda's aim is to help a person become mature and thereby bless him with a vision. Understand? Okay. Let us come to the class today. I was singing Arunachala Shiva. So I said, especially Lord Subramanya, wherever mountain is, they'll build a temple for Subramanya. Top of the hill. So we saw yesterday, the 44th and 45th verses, the Tompada Vachyartha in the 44th verse, Tatpada Vachyartha in the 45th verse. Is it clear now? Yes. I think I should not repeat anymore. You'll feel tired. Mm-hmm. You go straight away to the 46th verse.
Pratyak parokshataikasya sadvitiyatva purnata Viruddhete yatastasmat lakshanasam pravartate pratyak parokshataikasya sadvitiyatva purnata
సద్వితీయత్వపూర్ణతా
విరుద్ధేతేయతస్తస్మాలక్షణాసంప్రవర్తతే విరుధ్యేతేయతస్తస్మాల్లక్షణాసంప్రవర్తతే Okay, now having presented the literal direct meaning called vachyartha of tvam pada, of the the word tvam and of the word tat discussed in the first two verses, now in the 46th verse it is made very clear. If we take the vachyartha literal direct primary meaning, literal meaning, direct meaning of the words tvam and tat, if we take, then equating jiva to ishvara is not possible. Equation cannot be made. Understand why? Because if we take the vachyartha literal direct meaning of the words tvam and tat, the attributes of Jivaha and Ishvaraha are diagonally opposite. How can the two factors of diagonally opposite features or attributes be equated to each other? Equation is not possible. Therefore, some other method, some other lakshana has to be followed to arrive at the meaning conveyed by the to take it as an equation first of all. Tattvamasi is an equation, means how equation will not be possible if we take the literal meanings of the words tat and tvam. Understand? So why, that is explained in why vachyartha direct literal meaning, primary meaning of the words tat and tvam should not be taken here. Is it? That explanation is given. Look at this now. ప్రత్యక్ పరోక్షత, ప్రత్యక్ పరోక్షత ఏకస్య సద్వితీయత్వ అపూర్ణత విరుద్ధేతే. హియర్ విరుద్ధేతే ఇస్ ద వర్బ్. విరుద్ధేతే మీన్స్ ది అట్రిబ్యూట్ ఆఫ్ Jiva, attributes of Jiva, attribute of Jiva, attribute of Ishvara. Jiva and Ishvara are contradictory. Viruddhyate singular, viruddhyate dual. Jiva and Ishvara contradicts each other from the standpoint of the different attributes they have. Viruddhyate is opposed, is contradictory. Viruddhyete, two, dual. Viruddhyete, viruddhyete, viruddhyante. Is it clear now? Why two here? Jivaha and Ishvaraha are contradictory from the standpoint of their attributes. What are the contradictory attributes we see here? Pratyak parokshata. ప్రత్యక్ పరోక్షత. సి ప్రత్యక్ పరోక్షత ఇస్ ది ఫస్ట్ అట్రిబ్యూట్. ప్రత్యక్త, నౌ యు హావ్ టు యాడ్ ప్రత్యక్త ఆర్ ప్రత్యక్త్వం. ప్రత్యక్ మీన్స్ వాట్? ప్రత్యక్ మీన్స్ దాట్ విచ్ ఈస్ అవైలబుల్ యాజ్ ది ఇమీడియేట్ సెల్ఫ్. ఓకే, the all pervasive reality obtaining as the nearest self, as the immediate truth. Between one wave, between the wave and water,
What is there? How far is water from the wave? Water is immediate. What is immediate to the form? Wave is what? Water. Understand? Water is, similarly, what is immediate to the eye sense is what? Abstract formless consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, this all pervasive abstract reality obtaining as the content of I, the truth of I, Swarupam of I is what? Pratyak. Understand? The pratyakta, pratyaktvam means having the status of being the immediate self. Okay? So, iti pratyakta. So, now, we say, pratyak is the swarupam of the jivaha, jivatma. Pratyak swarupam of jivatma is all pervasive reality obtaining as the content, as the immediate self of jivatma is said to be pratyak. So, jivatma is pratyakta. Jivatma has the status of having the reality as the nearest self. Okay. So, it is always there. No. What about Ishvara? Ishvara has the status of being the parokshaha. Parokshata. Parokshatvam or parokshata mean the same. Parokshatvam or parokshata. So, Jiva has pratyakta, Ishvara has parokshata. See, pratyakta is not that I'm adding, just to make it very clear. Pratyaksha parokshata means pratyakta, pratyaktvam, Jiva has. Ishvara has parokshata or parokshatvam. So, what is parokshatvam or parokshata? Parokshata means not being available for knowledge directly. Being remote. Ishvara has the status of being far and remote. Understand, where is Ishvara? I am worshipper of Ishvara. Is Ishvara is there? Yes, Ishvara is there. Where is Ishvara? Ishvara is everywhere. Ishvara is the mouth universe. I am worshipping Ishvara. I am praying to the Ishvara. Which means, understand, so Ishvara has parokshata. Even though Ishvara, initially when you start, that's the literal meaning, isn't it? That Ishvara whom you do not know, who is invisible for you, who is unknown to you, understand, who is omnipotent, who is omniscient, that Ishvara is what? Different from you. Therefore, Ishvara has parokshata. Is it clear now? Pratyakta parokshata. Next. This is the first difference. It means Ishvara is not available for immediate. Ishvara being the immediate self is not known. Therefore, Ishvara has parokshata. Ishvara is remote, far away from you. The first difference. Second, sadvitiyatvam. Sadvitiyatvam and Purnata. Okay. Now, Jiva, Sadvitiyata or Sadvitiyatvam. Jivatma has Sadvitiyatvam as its attribute. Sadvitiyatvam means what? Jivatma has Sadvitiyatvam. It means Jivatma has the status of having many other Jivas other than himself. Isn't it? Jiva has second one. Not one second Jiva. Jiva has many other Jivas as second to oneself. See, secondless is Advitiya. Second full is what? Dviti, Sadvitiya. Understand? So every Jiva has every other Jiva as what? Second to one, isn't it? Second to oneself. Therefore, there are so many jivas. Every jiva has many other jivas, a second to oneself. Therefore, jivatma has the status of having the second ones. Second, okay? Second one. It's because advitiyatvam. Is it clear? Whereas, Ishvara has what? Ishvara has advitiyatvam. Ishvara has advitiyatvam. Only one Ishvara. Ishvara is secondless. It's diagonal opposite. Then, apurnata. Purnata. Sadvitiyatva purnata. You can say both. Okay. Advitiyatva purnata. See, Purnata implies here having the status of being all pervasive. So Ishvara has the status of being all pervasive. Ishvara has the status of being full, okay? Fullness of the universe. Ishvara has the nature of fullness. Ishvara has status of being all pervasive. So Purnata. Is it clear? Purnata. So being having Purnata, Ishvara is no second. Ishvara does not have second one. Ishvara is Advitiyaha. Because of all pervasiveness, because of Purnatvam, Ishvara has Advitiyatvam. Ishvara is secondless. Why Ishvara is secondless? Ishvara is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Purnatvat Advitiyatvam. Listen, because of all pervasiveness, Ishvara is secondless. Got it? Two differences. Due to this diagonally opposite attributes of Jivatma and Paramatma, Jivatma has Pratyakta, Ishvara has Aparokshata, Jivatma has Advitiyatvam and Apurnata. Understand? So being a Sadvitiyaha, having a second one, having many Jivas as second to oneself, is Apurnaha. He is infinite. He is finite. Whereas Ishvara, having Apurnata, having all pervasive, so Ishvara has having Purnata, Purnatvam, having all pervasiveness as the nature, Ishvara is what? Ishvara has no second Ishvara, secondless. Is it clear now? So, because of these two reasons, Ishvara and Jiva are what are the attributes? The standpoint of the attributes of Ishvara and Jiva, they are contradictory. Viruddhete. Yataha. Because of this reason, what happened? Tasmat. Therefore, Lakshana Sampravartate. Lakshana Sampravartate. Vartate means exists. Pravartate happens. Sampravartate means choicelessly it happens. What happens? Lakshana. Lakshana here means leaving aside that which enables you to leave the primary meaning and accept the implied, contextually implied secondary meaning. Yataha means what? Because. Here should take this, therefore. Due to that reason. Now, let me just give the example. If I say wave is ocean, kindergarten example, don't feel bad. Be patient. Wave is ocean when the equation is made. Will your intelligent mind, which intelligent mind will accept that equation? To accept from the standpoint of the former name? What nonsense you are talking. The wave comes, it is part of, the wave is a fraction which does not include the ocean. As ocean is the whole which is inclusive of the every wave. How can that wave be equated to ocean? Not at all. Is it? Wave cannot exist independently without the ocean. Ocean can be without the wave. Diagonally opposite. If I ask you, if I tell you to accept this equation, to see the wave being equated to ocean from the standpoint of the literal meaning, okay, then immediately viruddhete. The attributes are contradictory, not acceptable. Immediately you will be forced to, compulsorily, without any, isn't it, any hesitation, you will just reject it. Equation is not possible. But if I tell you, no, please take, don't take the literal direct mukhyartha. Instead of taking the mukhyartha, the primary meaning, the direct literal meaning, take the contextually implied meaning. Understand? Means, what is that without which wave cannot exist? What is without which ocean cannot be there? What sort of wave and the ocean? We take, you see the, you are cognitively deleting the form and the name. You take only the water, the swarupam. Then from the standpoint of water, we don't have two waters, there's only just the water. H2O. So from the standpoint of truth, then that is secondary meaning or contextually. What you are giving up, the form is given up. Kim tejate, form is rejected, name is rejected, just the truth of water alone. Then you see, half you give up. Water aspect of the wave, you retain. The form and name aspect of the wave and ocean, you give up. It's called bhagatyagaha. Understand? You give up half. You give up a part of wave and ocean. What do you give? The form you give up, reject. The name you reject. What you retain, half you retain. One aspect of the wave you retain. The form aspect, name aspect you reject. Water aspect you retain. That is second. Implied contextual meaning is what? Water. Wave is water. Then from the standpoint of the, if you see the wave is water, then you can easily equate what now? Wave being equal to ocean can be accepted. Understand? That's what he said here. So, the lakshanam, therefore, lakshana pravartate, tasmat, due to the reason. Which reason? As the attributes of Jivatma and Paramatma diagonally opposed to each other, they are contradictory. Okay? Therefore, literal, direct, primary meaning, from the standpoint of the meanings, they cannot be, Jivatma can be equated to Paramatma. Tasmat, therefore, Lakshana Pravartate. Therefore, Lakshana Pravartate. What is Lakshana? Lakshana means implied meaning or secondary meaning, contextual meaning. Contextually implied secondary meaning is Lakshana. Therefore, that meaning, no, pravartate. Okay, that now comes into the picture. Okay. Is it clear now? Should we go ahead with the third one? Is there any doubt in 46, verse number 46? Yes.
Just the line between. In fact, said with the upward that also. That's one of those words for Isha, correct?
Which one?
On the first line, Sadvitiyatva
Purnata. See, Sadvitiyatva Purnata, together we have to take. Sadvitiyatvam is the attribute of Jivatma. Purnata is the attribute of the Paramatma. Understand? So why Ishvara has the status of being all pervasiveness, therefore Ishvara has what? Ishvara is Advitiyaha. Understand? Whereas Jivatma being finite in nature, understand? Jivatma has many Jivas a second to oneself, isn't it? Jivatma is not one. Jivatma has second Jiva. Why 1 second? There's so many second jivas are there. Not only one. Therefore, jivatma has sadvitiyatvam. Jivatma has the status of having second one. But Ishra has no second. Second. Ishra is secondless. Why? Because of the all pervasiveness, because of Purnatva. Is it clear now? Can you go ahead with the next text verse?
Ikasya.
Huh?
Ikasya.
Patyak parokshata ekasya. Yeah, ekasya. See, only reality has different attributes as Jivatma and Paramatma. The reality alone is obtaining as Jivatma and Paramatma because of the identity with the two different Upadis. How many reality? Reality is one. Ekasya eva vastunaha. Understand now? One and the only reality, one and the only absolute reality, okay, has this Jivatma Paramatma division because of the identity with the two different Upadis. And having this two, okay, having this two as two, having two different identities as Jivatma and Paramatma, one has what? One has, Jivatma has Pratyakta, Ishra has Parokshata. And Jivatma has Advitiyatvam, Ishra has Advitiyatvam. Jivatma has Apurnatvam, Paramatma has Sapurnatvam. Purnatvam. Understand? Apurnatvam and Purnatvam. Completely directly opposite. Therefore, Viruddhete, they are contradictory. Therefore, what we should do? But we have to see this ekam. One alone, because of the difference in manifesting media or of different attributes. Therefore, if we take the literal meaning, primary meaning, they are opposed to the equation is not possible. Got it? But now what happens? If we take the lakshana, therefore lakshana pravartate, sampravartate. Therefore, now the contextually implied indirect meaning comes into the picture. Yes, no, comes, happens, comes here.
So, ekasya is for oneness?
Yeah, ekasya vastunaha. One vastu alone has. One and the, see, who has this pratyakta and parokshata? One only reality, one and the same reality. One and the same reality, okay, there are two types of attributes. Understand? Because of the association with two different upadis. Who is Jivaha? Jiva is also reality. Who is Ishvara? Ishvara is also reality. Only reality, having this Jivatma Paramatma division, and because of the identity association with the two different upadis, have two different, completely diagonally opposite attributes. Therefore, if you take the Vachyartha of Jivatma and Paramatma, definitely they are of diagonally opposite attributes. Jivatma has Pratyakta. Ishra has Parokshata. Jivatma has Advitiyatvam. Paramatma has Advitiyatvam. Jiva has Apurnata. Finite, Jiva is finite in nature. Whereas Ishvara has fullness, all pervasiveness. Understand? Therefore, there is contradiction. They're contradictory. Your equations are possible. Therefore, to understand, to accept Dhattamasi as an equation, thereby to arrive at the essential oneness, Lakshana, now, Lakshana has to be accepted. Lakshana has to be taken. Lakshana pravartate means that is how
contextually implied indirect meaning comes into the picture. Pravartate. Why should we go other go for the indirect meaning? In day-to-day context also we say that. When you say I'm very thirsty, I'm very hungry, what does it mean? Your identity is with the stomach. I'm very sleepy. Identity is with what? With what? Mind. Then I should take it as what? I am very sleepy means I heard it like Shyartha, the watch Shyartha. I am very sleepy means identity is with what? Specifically with the mind. I should take only the mind aspect. Okay, not dull mentally. Arrange for a tea. Like that. Listen, in the context we have always used it. Okay. Is it clear now? What is this verse saying? Okay. Ekasya pratyek parokshata sadvitiyatvam sadvitiyatva purnata vruddhyete. Yataha tasma lakshana sampravartate. Okay. We'll go next verse. Manantaravirodhetu. Manantaravirodhetu. Mukhyarthasya parigrahe. Manantaravirodhetu. Mukhyarthasya parigrahe. Mukhyarthena vina bhute. Pratitirlakshanochyate. Manantaravirodhetu. Mukhyarthasya parigrahe. Mukhyarthena vina bhute. Mukhyarthena vina bhute. Pratitirlakshanochyate. Manantaravirodhetu. Mukhyarthasya parigrahe. Mukhyarthena vina bhute. Pratitirlakshanochyate. Manantara virodhe. Mukhyarthasya parigrahe. Mukhyarthena avinabhute. Pratitihi lakshana uchyate. What is lakshana? What is the contextually implied meaning? Pratitihi lakshana uchyate. Pratitihi means doubt-free, clear knowledge. The clear meaning, doubt-free, clear meaning, which is recognizable, is pratitihi. Clear, recognizable meaning is pratitihi. That clear, recognizable meaning, which is arrived at as a contextually implied indirect meaning, is lakshana. So pratitihi is said to be lakshana. Pratiti is said to be lakshana. What is pratitihi? A clear, doubt-free meaning. Which is indirect meaning, which is contextually implied, is lakshana. Okay, pratitihi lakshana. So here, manantara virodhe. So in this particular verse, the 47th verse, Acharya states that especially in the context of Mahavakyam, the general literal direct meaning should not be taken. Even the Mahavakyam happens to be Mahat Mahavakyam, something simple being equated to the great. Okay. Even if you say wave is ocean, even wave is ocean is an equation, is a Mahavakyam, because tiny wave is equated to the great ocean. It's a Mahavakyam. Even there, literal direct meaning should not be taken. It's okay. Mukhyarthasya parigrahe. Mukhyartha means what? Mukhyartha means direct, literal, primary meaning. Mukhyartha is another expression for vachyartha. Vachyartha, mukhyartha mean the same. Vachyartha, mukhyartha mean the same. So mukhyarthasya parigrahe means vachyarthasya parigrahe. So what the Acharya says, mukhyarthasya parigrahe is equal to vachartasya parigrahe. Here parigrahanam means taking. Parigrinnati means what? Takes and uses. See, I take is, you know, parigrahanam means taking, using, applying. Understand? Mukhyarthasya parigrahi means in applying or when we apply. When there is application of the primary meaning. When primary meaning is taken, that's the meaning. Mukhyarthasya parigrahe. What happens? Manantara virodhe. Manam means pramanam. Manam means pramanam, means of knowledge. Manantara means other means of knowledge contradict. Manantara virodhe. Manantra virode. When it contradicts the other means of knowledge. When the primary meaning is applied and the primary meaning contradicts the other means of knowledge. Manantra virode. Understand? Primary meaning is contradicted by other means of knowledge. What other means of knowledge means what now? your own experience, your pratyaksha pramanam, your own, you have your own, you have anubhava pramanam. Anubhavaha is what? What is means of knowledge? Your own experience, day-to-day experience, isn't it? The day-to-day experience is what? Anubhava pramanam. Your own experience serves as a means of knowledge. But anubhava pramanam. And the yukti pramanam, the reasoning is the, you use reasoning also. Yukti means reasoning. Sometimes reasoning serves as a means of knowledge. Some says anubhava, your day-to-day experience serves as a means of knowledge. It's all different. Manantara means what? Mana pramanantaram. Pramanantaram is other means of knowledge, such as your own day-to-day experience, anubhava pramanam, yukti pramanam, your reasoning. And then we have shruti pramanam is what? Veda. Okay? Veda as a says pramanam. So we have three pramanams mainly. Anubhava pramanam. How do you have experience now? Your own experience serves as a means of knowledge, means what you to perception, etc. Understand? But what you perceive directly, you have your own perceptual knowledge. Based on your perception, you have certain conclusions. The perception is a means of knowledge. Perception gives you what? The experience. Therefore, anubhava pramanam. Anubhava pramanam. Yukti pramanam. So what is here? When mukhyarthasya parigrahe, in applying, in taking the literal, direct, primary meaning, manantara virodhe, when there is opposition, when there is contradiction, based from the standpoint of other means of knowledge, such as your personal experience or perception, etc., then pratitihi lakshana uchyate. Then that which is not avinabhute, mukhyarthena avinabhute means, then that which is not the direct, that which is not the meaning of, that which is not the direct literal meaning, that which is clearly recognizable as the indirect implied meaning, which is other than the mukhyartha, other than the direct meaning, is taken. Mukhyarthena avinabhute means what? Without the mukhyartha. That which is not the mukhyartha. Mukhyarthena avinabhute. What? Lakshana. Lakshana, pratithi lakshana uchyate. So then you leave the literal meaning. Okay? You have to see the implied meaning. What is from protection? Every day in day-to-day life, you will ask the question, what I am saying? Tattvamasi? Am I Ishvara? The teacher tells, Tattvamasi. I am very clear I am not Ishvara. We don't need to come and sit and study the Vakya Vritti to say I am not Ishvara. Isn't it? Any Tom, Dick, Harry on the road will say what? Are you God? Ask somebody. No, I am not God. Anybody will say, are you God? No. You are God. Are you mad? I am not of God. I am a worshipper of God. I am a devotee of God. I am coming to the temple, praying and going. Anybody will say. So to know that I am not God, to know I am different from Ishvara, we don't need any study Shastram. Without studying the Shastram, remaining ignorant also, you know very well the relative fact that you are not Ishvara. The whole effort of studying the Shastram is what? To arrive at the absolute fact that essentially you are non-different from Ishvara. Understand? That is why effort has to be involved here. You cannot take the literal direct meaning. Mukhyartha, vachyartha. If we take the vachyartha, it contradicts your experience. Every Bhagishwara is Purnananda Swarupaha. Every day, what morning, the day begins with all problems for me. How can I say Ishvara? What is the experience? What is Manantara? Manantara means what? My other means of knowledge. Manantram is Pramanantram. I have many Pramanams. I have many means of knowledge. I have my own experience. My own experience is Anubhava is the Pramanam. Anubhava is the Manam. Here means Pramanam. Okay? Manantra means I have other means of knowledge through which I have experience. And what is my experience? I am unhappy. Ishvara is Ananda Swarupaha. So my own other means of knowledge which I operate in day-to-day life, which give me experience, which based on which I have conclusions, completely contradicts the equation. Understand now? So Manahantara Virodhe. Virodhe means what? Completely what the equation conveys does not befit at all. Manant mukhyartasya parigrahe manantra virodha bhavati. When the vachyartha is taken, that meaning is taken, there manantra virodha bhavati. There is the experiences which I have through my other means of knowledge contradicts with this mukhyartha. The meaning of the sentence. Understand? Therefore, mukhyartena avinabhute. So, there's lakshana. Pratitihi lakshana. So, other than mukhyartha, the clearly revealed meaning of a word is what? In indirect meaning, which is lakshana. Is it clear here? Clear enough? Therefore, what is it lakshana now? What is the lakshana? The method of unfolding. The method of unfoldment of the meanings of the words. Tattandatvam. They have to reveal something else by which I can accept the equation, arrive at what exactly is conveyed by this sentence as an equation. So now he says,
Tattvamasyadivakyeshu.
Lakshanabhagalakshana. Are you understanding or not?
Yes.
Is it clear?
Yes.
Tattvamasyadi. Vakyeshu.
Tattvamasyadivakyeshu.
So mukhyartena avinabhute, in the previous sentence, okay, that which is there, okay, not as a mukhyartha, that which is there not as the literal meaning is the implied meaning. That which is there not as the direct meaning is the implied meaning. That implied meaning which clearly is revealed is what? Lakshana. Implied meaning. Okay. Now we'll see here. How to understand this lakshana? Tattvamasyadivakyeshu.
Tattvamasyadivakyeshu.
లక్షణాభాగ లక్షణ. తత్వమస్యాదివాక్యేషు లక్షణాభాగ లక్షణ సోయమిత్యాది వాక్యస్థ వాక్యస్య వాక్యస్థ సోయమిత్యాది వాక్యస్థ పదయోరివ నాపరా సోయమిత్యాది వాక్యస్థ పదయోరివ నాపరా తత్వమస్యాదివాక్యేషు లక్షణాభాగ లక్షణ సోయమిత్యాది వాక్యస్థ పదయోరివ నాపరా ఓకే. ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వర్స్ ఆల్సో వీ హ్యావ్ దిస్ వర్డ్ లక్షణ. Again, you have the word lakshana. What is exactly lakshana? What does the word lakshana mean? See, lakshyate. Lakshyate means that which is targeted. That which is aimed is what? Lakshyate. Lakshyam means goal, target. That which is targeted is what? Lakshya. Understand now? Lakshya. So, Lakshya Arthaha means, Lakshya Arthaha means the meaning which is targeted and arrived at. Lakshya. What is targeted by you? Bhavata kim lakshyate? What is targeted by you? What is aimed at by you? Is it lakshyate? I can ask. Is it? So we can say lakshyate, sir. Now, lakshya arthaha means the meaning targeted and arrived at is lakshyartha. Why it is lakshyartha? To arrive at a specific meaning, which is the targeted meaning, you have to use a proper means, the proper process. Isn't it? Therefore, lakshana means appropriate process of implication. What is lakshana? An appropriate process of implication is the meaning of the word lakshana. An appropriate process. Not inappropriate process, okay? An appropriate process of implication is lakshana. So, lakshya artha is a targeted meaning, okay, which is arrived at through that appropriate process of implication is what? Lakshyartha. Is it clear now? What is lakshyartha? Lakshyartha is the targeted meaning which is arrived at through the process of implication. Also proper process of implication. So, lakshana, lakshyartha. Got the meaning now? What is lakshana? Proper process of implication. What is lakshyartha? The targeted meaning arrived at through the proper process of implication. Is it clear? So, implied meaning, lakshyartha. Lakshanaya praapyaha artha. See now, lakshanaya praapyaha artha, lakshyartha. Is it clear now? Got it? Okay. This Lakshana. Therefore, there are different Lakshanas. Let me tell you before I go there. Let me stop here and let me explain to you. We'll come back and see other meaning. We have you heard the word Jahati?
Mm-hmm.
Jahati.
Mm-hmm.
Ha is the Dhatu. And it, but somehow certain roots have some extra special words added. Jahati. Jahati means what? Gives up. Jahati. Gives up. And you had pra also, totally giving up. Prajahati. Jahati, prajahati. Remember where you come across? We'll talk when you hear about the jnani in the second chapter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the prakshir? Sita prajna.
Mm-hmm.
Prajahati yada kaman. Sarvan parthamanogatan. Remember that, no? So when all the person does not give up, this is resolve themselves for a jnani. But here, prajahati means gives up. Sarvam prajahati. A wise person who does not really is dependent on anything. Physically does giving up. Mentally he gives up everything. Okay? That is prajahanam. Listen, prajahati. Now, that was ha dhatoho jahati. What shatruanta? Shatruanta jahati? Jahat. Takaranta shabda. Like gachat patat likat jahat. Is it clear now? Are you listening or not?
Yes.
Jahat. Gachat, patat, likat, like that. Jahat. Jahat means what? Giving up. Jahati gives up. Jahat means giving up. Giving up means what? Rejecting. Jahati rejects. Gives up. Jahat, not giving up is what? Ajahat. So, there are lakshanas. Jahat is called. Now, in feminine, Lakshana is what? Stealing a Shabda. Therefore, Jahati Lakshana. Gachanti Mahila. Like that. Jahati Lakshana. Okay, the method of a proper process of implication. Okay, through which something is given up. Is it? That's what we say. Jahati Lakshana. Like Gachanti Mahila, Jahati Lakshana. Then, ajahati lakshana, where the meanings are not given up. Ajahati lakshana. You make a compound word, jahat lakshana becomes jahal lakshana. Jahati lakshana and jahal lakshana mean the same. Now, know the words alone now, this class. The next class I'll explain this, okay? Jahati lakshana is equal to, make a compound, jahat lakshana. Make a sandhi, jahal lakshana. I'm sorry, I can't help. Okay? People who don't want Sanskrit will feel too boring, but I can't. If you have to, please bear with me. One class, okay, little bit. Jahati lakshana or jahat lakshana becomes jahal lakshana, mean the same. Now, ajahati, not giving up. Ajahati lakshana or ajahal lakshana. Is it clear? This one. Now we have jahat ajahat lakshana. Jahat ajahal lakshana. Jahat ajahat lakshana. Jahat ajahal lakshana. I repeat again. Jahal lakshana, ajahal lakshana, jahad ajahal lakshana. Got it? Three words. Repeat again. Jahal lakshana, ajahal lakshana, jahad ajahal lakshana. You can say jahat ajahal lakshana. Easy to say. This last one, jahad ajahal lakshana alone is said to be Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Jahada Jahal Lakshana said to be Bhagatyaga Lakshana. Before I go to Lakshana, let me make it very clear. when you say mukhyartha and lakshyartha, when you say primary meaning, vachyartha, mukhyartha mean the same. The primary meaning, direct meaning, and the implied indirect meaning. Implied indirect meaning is lakshyartha. Primary direct meaning is what? Vachyartha or mukhyartha. What is the difference? These meanings are actually inseparable. If, for example, if I say golden chain, okay, when you pay in the shop, you pay for the gold. You don't pay for the ornament. Understand? Why? Weight is not of the ornament, weight is of the gold only. The chain which you buy in the shop, which you like it, the design you like it, you love the design, you are going to wear it. Okay? What attracted you is what? The design. But what you pay for is what? Mostly for the gold only. Understand? So here, you cannot say, oh, the chain has no weight at all. What should I pay? I want only chain. I want only the chain. I don't want to pay any money. You can't say that. And then what will he say? He'll say, I'm not asking to pay for the money. Please take the chain. Pay only for the gold and take the money. Take the chain. You cannot take only the chain, leave the gold there. Is it? Which means, when he says you please pay and go, what is implied meaning there? Chain or gold? Gold. Even though you pay for the chain means pay for the gold. Pay for the chain and then take the chain, the shopkeeper says. What he implies is, chain is the word, you pay for the chain and go means, he asks you to pay for what? Gold only. The implied meaning is, what is vachyartha? Form, name. Form and name is vachyartha. Chain, isn't it? Pay for the chain. In that sentence, what is the vachyartha of the chain? Form and name. What is lakshyartha? Okay, form, name with the gold is vachyartha. What is lakshyartha? Only the gold. Now, tell me, are they very far? They're very, very near. Gold and chain, the former name chain and gold are inseparably together. The vachyartha and lakshyartha are inseparably together. So when you say mukhyarthena avinabhute, vinabhutaha means avinabhutaha means that without which it cannot be. That without which it cannot be is avinabhutaha. Which means the primary and implied meanings are connected. Inseparable. Primary and implied meanings are inseparable here. Got it? Can you separate the primary meaning and the implied meaning? The chain, when you say form, name and gold. Implied meaning is what? Gold. You can't separate. Physically you can't separate. Unless you melt it. Similarly, when you say wave, there, the form and name wave, and there cannot be form and name without the water. So wave means what? The primary meaning of the word wave is form, name and water. Isn't it? Can you separate the form and name? I say wave is ocean. That the water, the lakshyartha, and the vachyartha, form, name and water. Can you separate? Vachyartha and Lakshyartha are inseparable. Understand? Inseparable. That's what it is meant by the word avinabhuti. Now, what is, so Lakshana, I understood very well. Lakshana, Lakshyarthaha is the togitted meaning, implied meaning, which is arrived at through appropriate process of implication. Lakshanaya prapyaha artaha lakshyarthaha, I said. So here, Shastam talks about these three lakshanas. Jagati lakshana, always said to be, when you made a compound word, jahal lakshana. This proper, the process of implication, when you use it, what happened now? Implication. Here, you give up certain things. Giving up, something becomes given up. Is it? That is jahal lakshana. Then ajahati lakshana or ajahal lakshana. You have jaha jahal lakshana. Jaha jahal lakshana means jahad ajahal lakshana. You said to be bhagatyaga lakshana. What is bhagatyaga lakshana? See, whether we understand, we do not understand. Shankar Bhagavad Pada assumes that we may not understand. So he explains what is the vachyartha of Ishvara, what vachyartha of Jiva, and when you say you had to add the attributes, isn't it? And who is this Jivatman Paramatma? Are they two? All they is ekasya vastunaha, one and the only reality alone, is there as Jivatman Paramatma. And this Jivatma Paramatma divish itself because of the difference in the attributes. Those are diagonally opposite. Having these two different attributes, how can they be equated? Therefore, if we take the Vachyartha literal direct meaning, we cannot arrive at the meaning conveyed. So, the equation will be absurd. Equation will be absurd. Purnatvam, apurnatvam, purnatvam, advitiyatvam, sadvitiyatvam, pratyakta, parokshata, having these different attributes directly opposed to each other. And if you still say equation will be absurd. So he wants to understand it is these attributes. So we have to have a different proper process of implication must be employed. We'll see in the evening. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti.